You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next. On this Long Innings podcast, we take a look at cricketing equipment that have been around since the origin of cricket.
Cricket is essentially a non-contact sport, unlike soccer and rugby. However, if a cricket ball makes contact with certain parts of a player's anatomy, particularly the head, then it can cause serious injury. Until World Series cricket in the late 1970s, helmets were never in vogue. However, with almost every team in the World Series cricket having three or four fast bowlers capable of inflicting serious injury, most batsmen started to wear helmets. There were a few exceptions like Vivian Richards, who never wore one, preferring to trust his eye and his reflexes to avoid getting hit, and Sunil Gavaskar, who only wore a skull cap. There are certain pieces of cricketing equipment that have been around since the origins of cricket. Gloves. Batsmen were allowed to wear gloves, which were thickly padded above the fingers and the thumb to protect against impact from the ball. The wicketkeeper is allowed to wear a special kind of glove on both hands, which usually includes a webbing between the thumb and the index finger. Pads. Pads were worn by the two batsmen and the wicketkeeper to protect their shins from impact with the ball. The pads worn by the keeper is slightly different from the ones worn by the batsmen. The close-in fielders can also wear shin pads. Abdominal guard, which is popularly known as a box. The box is made from high-density plastic, which is inserted into the jockstrap. This will reduce the impact when the ball hits the sensitive area. Guards for other parts of the body. Depending on the pace of the bowler the batsman is facing and the capability of the batsman, thigh guards, arm guards, chest guards, and elbow guards are also worn from time to time. However, these are only worn if necessary as they hamper movement. Helmets. Helmets in the olden days usually had a visor and were worn by the batsmen and the close-in fielders to protect their heads. Since the head is the only part of the body that can cause a potentially fatal injury, most of this podcast will focus on grievous head injuries which have occurred in the history of cricket and how and when helmets have become mandatory in certain positions on the field and what are the minimum standards that helmets must conform to. Raman Lamba's death in February 1998. Raman Lamba was fielding at forward short leg to the bowling of left-arm spinner Shafiullah Khan when he was struck by a fierce pull by Mehrab Hussain. He was playing for Abahani Krira Chakra in the final of the Dhaka Premier League against Mohammedan Sporting Club. He did not wear a helmet as there were only three balls left in the over. The injury did not appear to be serious, but Lamba suffered internal hemorrhaging and slipped into a coma. After 3 days, he was declared brain dead. Eye injuries to keepers Saba Kareem and Mark Boucher. Normally, wicketkeepers don't wear helmets as there is enough time to sight the ball when they are keeping back to the pace bowlers and there is no necessity. Usually, when the keepers are standing up to the stumps for the spinners, the ball is not imparted with enough pace to do them much damage even if they struck anywhere on the body except the face. During an Asia Cup match in 2000 between India and Bangladesh, Saba Kareem was keeping wicket to Anil Kumble. He was struck in the eye by a ball that deflected off Habibul Bashar's pad. Kareem was admitted to a hospital with retinal edema and inflammation and developed a condition called glaucoma. His eyesight did not improve and he was forced into premature retirement. Mark Boucher was struck by a bale during South Africa's tour match against Somerset in 2012 when the ball bowled by Imran Tahir flicked the bale into his face, causing blood to ooze from his left eye. He lost the lenses, iris and pupil of his left eye, which forced him into premature international retirement. Following these two injuries, most wicketkeepers started wearing helmets even before they became mandatory. Nari contractor struck by Charlie Griffith. During India's tour of the Caribbean in 1961-62, India were playing a game against Barbados when contractor was hit in the head by a short ball from Charlie Griffith. Contractor was unconscious for 6 days and needed blood transfusions to survive. He never played international cricket again. Anil Kumble hit by a rising delivery from Mervyn Dillon. Kumble was hit by a rising delivery from Dillon during the fourth test between West Indies and India at the Antigua Recreation Ground in 1997. He suffered a cracked jaw. Even after these horrific injuries, helmets were not mandatory and a few batsmen played without them. It took the death of Phil Hughes to force administrators to introduce legislation regarding helmets. Phil Hughes' fatal injury. Philip Hughes was a very promising Australian left-handed opening batsman who made his debut for Australia in 2009 at the age of 20. During a first-class match in the Sheffield Shield between New South Wales and South Australia at the Sydney Cricket Ground on 25th November 2014, Hughes was struck in the neck after missing an attempted hook shot to a bouncer from Sean Abbott. Hughes was wearing a helmet, but the ball struck an unprotected area just below his left ear. He immediately collapsed before receiving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and was taken to St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney, where he underwent surgery and was placed into an induced coma. Hugh's injury was a rare but described type of sport-related blunt force cerebrovascular injury called a vertebral artery dissection, which led to subarachnoid hemorrhage. He died 2 days later. As a result of Hugh's death, calls were made for improvements to the cricket helmet, and this has resulted in new designs which have additional guards fitted to the rear of the helmet. However, an independent review released by Cricket Australia states that the British standard helmet, which is now mandated, would have offered no protection where Hughes was struck. It also stated that there is limited scientific evidence that current neck guards will prevent a similar tragedy and that they must be properly evaluated before they are mandated. After the review was completed in 2016, it was concluded that the incident was purely accidental and that changes made to improve safety during the review period, such as mandatory helmets for wicketkeepers, closing fielders and batsmen facing fast or medium pace bowling, even during net sessions, would not have prevented the accident. From that point on, defibrillators were made mandatory for all Cricket Australia sanctioned matches and had to be available at all grounds. It also concluded that the medical attention that he received played no part in his death. Cricket Australia also had sought approval from the International Cricket Council to trial the use of injury substitutes who could bat and bowl in domestic games. The reason for that was that a conscientious player who suffered an injury while playing might feel that he was letting his team down and might try to play even if he wasn't up to it, as he might feel that his absence would give the opposition team an advantage. Substitutes have been permitted to replace injured or ill players in matches for over 100 years, but are not allowed to bat, bowl, or act as wicketkeepers or captains according to the rules of the game. In November 2015 in England, new regulations came into force which stipulate mandatory use of a helmet with a fixed grille and a narrow gap through the eye line up to the peak. The new ECB rules also stated that all international and county batsmen must wear a helmet at all times, even against spin, while wicketkeepers must always wear one when standing up to the stumps. Even fielders close to the bat have to comply with these regulations. The Chief Medical Officer of ECB, Dr. Nick Pearce, had this to say on the ECB's new helmet regulations when they were introduced in November 2015, and I quote, "As we have seen in recent times, the cricket ball can cause significant injury, and it is extremely important that players take appropriate precautions when batting, keeping wicket or fielding close to the stumps. The latest cricket helmets have made significant strides in providing protection against potentially catastrophic injury, and we would strongly advise all players to make sure their helmet conforms to the latest British safety standard. The decision is a major step forward and will help make first-class cricket safer, as well as sending a strong message to the recreational game about the importance of helmet safety." Following the death of Phil Hughes, most batsmen have attached new neck guards, which are not mandatory, but the narrower gap between the neck and grille was compulsory, and England's captain Alistair Cook was not ready to comply initially. Even at the risk of being reported to the ECB's disciplinary committee, Cook was reluctant to change his 2013 model Grey Nichols helmet and said that he would switch over only when he was totally comfortable with the new helmet. The reason for this was that he felt that he did not get as clear a view at the delivery with the new helmet and that it would hinder his ability to sight the ball as early as possible, which in turn would increase his chances of getting hit. On a recommendation into the death of Philip Hughes, CA altered its playing conductions in 2016 to permit the use of substitutes for players diagnosed with a concussion at all levels except for first class and international cricket. Cricket Australia believes that a 2-year trial of concussion substitutes in first-class cricket will eventually lead to the rule being adopted in international cricket, with high-profile concussion victim Sam Harper backing the move. Anytime a player is hit on the head, there is a risk of concussion, and that is another reason to wear a helmet. The ICC regulations restricted Cricket Australia from introducing the concept into the Sheffield Shield, as the competition would have lost its test status, and the issue attained prominence when Victoria were reduced to 10 men after Harper was felled in a freak accident. Harper, a young wicketkeeper playing in just his 6th first-class match, was inadvertently struck by South Australian batsman Jake Layman when he kept up to spinner John Holland. Victoria had to play out the match with 10 men, and their players publicly questioned why they had been denied a replacement. Cricket Australia clarified the match would have lost its first-class status with points forfeited had a replacement been used. But Harper suffered the greatest blow. He was hospitalised for 3 weeks and spent months recovering from the knock over the winter before returning to top-flight cricket with Victoria in the JLT One Day Cup. The 20-year-old admits he'd kept batting through a previous concussion as a junior during an Under-19 National Championships match. but says the new rules will make it an easier decision for players to pull out midway through a game. Bringing in the concussion sub will be great because the person who's concussed themselves can start focusing on the rehab, knowing that the team's actually got someone to do a job in your place. In a team sport, the last thing you want to do is let the team down. The brain is something you don't want to mess around with. I'm not proud of the fact that I kept batting 2 years ago. If I had my time again, I'd walk straight off. You don't want people coming off for no reason, but if there is a genuine concussion or a genuine brain injury, I think it's important to remember cricket is just a game. Cricket Australia's head of cricket operations, Peter Roach, had this to say, and I quote, "We strongly believe that the rules we have got in place are good for the sport and the player, and that Cricket Australia would be heavily surprised if favourable things were not reported from the trial and the other countries would soon follow suit. The prominence of concussions is growing and the awareness should continue to grow. We do play a sport that has instances of concussions. We are making every effort to protect the player and that they made no apology for it." End quote. The inquest into the death of Phil Hughes and the reviews conducted in England and Australia, followed by the knowledge of the repercussions of allowing concussed players to remain on the field, have led to these rule changes, and it is a good thing that cricket authorities have woken up and that player safety is now paramount.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.